Perhaps we should try to take two or three questions in a row that we could comment from up here, and then we try to round this off. Yes, you could start there.
My name is Inge Jerv from the Royal Academy of Agriculture. When you are talking about industrialization in Africa, I must say I'm a bit puzzled that you don't even mention the great importance to get the agriculture sector right. I mean, as a starting point for growth development. And I see very, very little about those mentioning also in... This is a very broad report, of course. You talk about land reforms, etc. But why are these fundamental importance, which even our own society started with once upon a time? Thank you.
Bengt Säve.
Thank you. I'm Bengt Säve Söderberg. I have been active in this area some time ago. I'm puzzled by when you are talking about drivers of development and it's all handled by economists. In our society, we recognize political science, law, and other things. You mentioned Douglas North, who is the economist who comes close to political science. But I remember the times when I was state secretary, that was the heyday of Ronald Reagan and Mrs. Thatcher. Everything was market. Government was evil. And much has evil has come out of this. The World Bank made an evaluation some 15 years ago and found that this was bad. And now even economists have come to the conclusion that institutions matter. I think that even a child understands that. So I am confused by the too much focus on economics. And I think one should learn a little bit. In those days, we certainly had to fight against those who were against government. Secondly, what is Africa? You were talking about priorities for Africa. Africa is not as one size for all. And that was also a conclusion by the World Bank when they looked at the structural adjustment programs. In Africa, you have Botswana, you have Nigeria, just to mention two countries, where in one of the countries, they used the money they gained for education purposes with very good results. In Nigeria, the leader stole all the money and messed everything up. So I get very confused by when a person today speaks of Africa. It's Morocco, it's South Africa, it's Eritrea. I wouldn't give the same recommendations to those countries. So on one more. When you talk about priorities, yes, one should be selective. But also, one should look, when it comes to Sweden, what are we good at doing? Are we? Yes, we have a fairly good public administration. We don't have much corruption. We have a number of ideas coming from Mr. Oxenstierna all the way up to today. And I think we have something to contribute. And I think Per Molander is quite right in his conclusions about this. So be selective, but choose also the areas which we are better at, and don't be involved in everything. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Gunnel Axelsson Ekander. I'm Policy Director at Church of Sweden International Department. First, a general comment that I think it's very good that the fact that developing countries are in fact undertaxed is a very good point to remember. And then I have a question to Per, which you mentioned health and education as core, two of the core functions of government. And then Geske, mm-hmm. You mentioned also social protection, which I was thinking of adding. So my question is, if you would agree on adding that to the list, it's the old part of the social protection floor, which is clearly now in the agenda 2030 as a more comprehensive view of social protection, including both social services and cash. But then I have a question to Ulrika. I was quite surprised to hear what you commented on tax. You said, well, no, sorry, on trade. You said, yes, we have been working on that for a long time. We have aid for trade. What I heard from both Per and from Geske is that what we have been saying, what you have been saying, what the trade minister of trade in Sweden has been saying for at least since the late 90s, when I started from the civil society side, trying to influence trade policy, saying that, please, Sweden, listen to the developing countries, give them some policy space. And the Ministry of Trade has been saying, no, this is better for them. Free trade is better for them. Especially in the EPAS, the Economic Partnership Agreements in Africa, I think EU has been quite aggressive. And if I hear rightly, and I'm going to read it in the report, I think this could actually be, if the government acts on the recommendation on this report, there would actually be a change in trade policy, which I think would be very welcome.
Okay, we take final question down there.
Thank you. My name is Johanna Malm. I'm from the Swedish National Audit Office. I just wanted to follow up on the taxation issue. And, of course, we heard from Ulrika Modell last week when the policy framework was launched that this is now going to be Audit's important priority for Sweden. I just wanted to follow up on to Per about this thing about developing countries being undertaxed. Are you then thinking about actually the population and the capacity to tax the population? Are you talking more about tax evasion and corporations and more in the upper income bracket? Just a clarification. Thank you.
I suggest that we take a final round, so to say, and then either one of us, you could pick up the questions that came, and you could start, perhaps.
Yes. Thank you. Well, very good question, thank you. about this need for supporting agriculture, I very much agree with that. I only had limited time, but indeed for addressing both the growth problem and the inequality and poverty problem, I think it's very important to invest more in African agriculture. Research and development for improved seeds, also rural infrastructure, many things that should happen to improve agriculture in Africa. Africa, by the way, for me it's sub-Saharan Africa, and of course I agree that there should be different policies in different countries. Mauritius is a completely different story than many other countries. I couldn't agree more with the question on trade. I would have said that, but I can just support you. And that the policy space is necessary and that there really should be a change from this mantra of free trade is the best for you. We know it's good for you. You should liberalize your trade. I think the country should have policy space for developing their own industrial policies. And then I have one question for you. You said donor coordination is important. Very sad to hear that there were only two or three countries that sent a minister at the last...
Netherlands being one of them, though, so, yeah.
But I was wondering, in setting your priorities, I couldn't read them yet, because it's only Sweden so far, the new policy document. But in setting your priorities, did you connect with other donors, and did you look at what other donors are doing? And that's one thing, but more importantly, perhaps, when you are going to implement this at a recipient country level, are you going to talk to other donors? What are you doing in this particular country? Because that was one of the other things we found when we did this evaluation of the impact of ending support, is that all donors, despite all these talks about coordinations, they all left the same sectors and the same countries at the same time, with disastrous consequences. So, the question, whether you're going to do that better?
Well, there have been several issues here raised. Now, first on agriculture, even in my extremely condensed report, there are several pages on agricultural reform, land reform, which I think is an underestimated problem, actually. If you read the comprehensive book by Lipton on land reform, you find this is a huge problem, and the sort of pessimistic message from historical experience in this area is that it's almost impossible to accomplish fundamental tax reforms without external pressure. We have seen land reforms in some Asian countries like Taiwan, Korea. Those land reforms were forced on the Taiwanese and the Koreans by Japanese invasion forces that during occupation. And we have seen very few successful attempts either in Latin America or in Africa, which are sort of generated from within, because landowners represent such an important, politically important lobbying group. So that's an underestimated problem. But surely rationalization of agricultural production is one of the main issues for countries where agriculture is still the dominant sector, as it is in many African countries. Bengt, I can reassure you that there's lots of room for political science in this report, if you have time to read it. James Robinson, Bo Rothstein, and other megastars are well represented in the literature list, so you needn't worry about that. Social protection, certainly, if you can afford it, that's important. And this is one of the difficult areas. There have been some successful attempts to raise new taxes in countries with a poor historical record. And the condition that seems to be necessary is that you get a sort of social contract between the government and the citizens where to spend the new tax revenues. If I remember correctly, in Nigeria, where value-added tax was introduced in exchange for promises from the Potom government to spend that on the educational system, and with full transparency on revenues and expenditure, so it can be done. There's also Somaliland on the African Horn, the eastern side, which represents a good example in the sense that it is possible, given this sort of social contract conclusion, to get out of dysfunctional social trap where the citizens don't trust the government and the government doesn't know how to get out of it. So it's history of predation on the tax basis. Trade policy. I quote extensively, actually, the policy for global development, this document for 2003. And there is a whole page with a eulogy on free trade, with no reservation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion would be to either rewrite that page or discard it, because it reflects a sort of Washington consensus view of trade policies, which does not stand up to confrontation with the research as we or this current research level. As I said before, the countries that are presently rich, they grew rich using very different policies from the one recommended in the Washington consensus. And one of the authors uses the metaphor of kicking away the ladder. The trade regime prohibits policy measures that these rich countries used themselves 50 or 100 years ago, or even several hundred years ago in some cases, which are now not permitted, such as infant industry protection, for instance, extensive. And so here is an area where there is room for political initiative, which calls for cooperation across several ministries. Actually, you need to involve the Minister of Finance as well. On tax basis, yes, of course. My answer would be both. I mean, there are several problems here. There is a problem of tax evasion. Rich persons who export their capital to Swiss banks, where they have been kept in secret for a long time, that may change now to some extent with the new BEPS regime. But we haven't seen the end result so far. actually the Swiss government has been using secrecy as a thing to bargain over, actually. One African country which approached the Swiss government in order to increase transparency on its own citizens' holdings in these Swiss banks got as a reply from the Swiss government, okay, we can open up this, can increase transparency in case you reduce the tax rate, which is a very cynical way of using one's own bargaining strength, actually. But I think you need both. Control these tax evasion possibilities and broaden the tax base the way that we have done. But the second step here, broadening the tax base, including value-added tax or tax from ordinary citizens, that calls for a much wider social contract. Civil and vital registration systems and the sort of requires a totally different infrastructure from the simpler situation where you only tax raw materials extraction, for instance, from oil wells or mines. Yes.
Very briefly, even though we are very proud of our policy document, Policy Queries for Development, dating back to 2003, it is, of course, needed to be updated. And the way we have done that is to relate our ambitions to take responsible decisions within government, with a whole-of-government approach, taking into account perspectives of people living in poverty, of the poorest country, not least the least developed country, and the conflict-ridden states and fragile states, but also the rights-based perspective. So, of course, I mean, with regard to both trade but also tax, I think it's very much needed to see this in the light of what we have today. And I think the framework from the Addis Ababa Agenda for Action with regard to financing for development, we have a good starting point. And I think we should use this when we develop our different strategies, both for policy coherence but also direct action with our development cooperation, both with regard to tax and to trade issues. And of course, it's needed to see how we can level the playground, as it has been discussed for many, many, many years, but also the policy space for developing countries. I think when commenting, and now you will allow me also to talk about Africa south of Sahara, when we talk about economic growth, we need to look at agriculture, and we can also say and admit that agriculture is also, together with education, another sector that has decreased funding over many years, even decades, within Swedish Development Cooperation. But when I commented upon this in a seminar 2 weeks ago, I think it's also necessary when we look at the chart of how developing funds are registered to see that there are also other funds coming in. For instance, for our commitment to climate finance, and I think that the adaptation funds for the climate finance needs to be looked upon also with regard to the experience of a development cooperation and how this can be supportive both for economic growth, inclusive economic growth, but also to the area of agriculture. And then how should we then prioritize? I hope that we will have the framework translated in the beginning of next year so you can read it. But it is a framework bringing in the experience of over 50 years of development cooperation from Sweden. And how it should be prioritized is really from the local perspective. So when we are developing our strategy, how to cooperate in a country like Mozambique, we should listen in to the different partners there, of course, the local government, but also the broad ownership with civil society and other actors, also from the private sector, academia, and so on. But also look at the other donors and how this should be coordinated. And this is why I'm quite puzzled about the situation, that we are not working in a coordinated way, because I think that this will be a lot of trouble when working more efficiently with our common development funds. But this is the way it should be done.
So thank you, Ulrika. Let me round this off. The expert group, as I said in the beginning, has this ambition of publishing studies where we start from academic work or other kind of evidence. And one might think that this is sort of self-evident, but when one looks at how policy is shaped, one sometimes wonders if that is the case. So I really think it is a very important task. And I think that this report that Per has written is exemplary in that sense. And it's an interesting read. I think if for someone who's interested in getting an overview of the literature, it works well. Of course, when you do that, and you have, as Jesper pointed out, a wide area, it is sort of unavoidable that, you know, things will be questioned. Not everything will be covered and so forth. But I think this is a particular problem within the foreign aid area, because the issues are so complicated. And there tends to be a little bit of this, we don't know anything anyway. So then we can do what we want. And this is particularly so because the people who are seeing the consequences of what we are doing are not the ones who are voting in Swedish elections. So there is larger room in this area than in other policy areas to do things that doesn't function for a very long time. When the school system, it took 20 years, you know, when people realized that it didn't function, there was a change. And with some areas that happens quicker in Sweden. But the aid area is difficult in that sense, which makes it even more important to have these sort of discussions and these reports being written. And I can at this stage only promise that we will continue with that next year. But before that, we have Christmas. So I want to wish you all a happy Christmas and ask you all, or tell you all, that you are most welcome back. And then, of course, I want to thank again Per and Geske and Jesper and Ulrika for coming here, and all of you for coming and sitting here, although we continued 15 minutes longer than we should have. Thank you. Mm-hmm.